بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 25th of July in the year 2020 and alhamdulillah we moved on to the ninth session that we're going through the exalted and dear life of our beloved mother Sayyida Maymuna radiyallahu and I've started the subsection in which we're taking a glimpse into her education of others. So the following are a few famous hadith from our beloved mother, radiyallahu anha. In Nasa'i, in his Sunan, number 238, Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhu, he said, my maternal aunt Maymuna, radiyallahu anha, informed me that she and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to perform ghusl from one vest. My maternal aunt Maymuna radiyallahu anha informed me that she and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to perform ghusl from one vest. So Maymuna radiyallahu anha is divulging the intimacy so that they could learn with regards to how the ghusl was taken by the blessed husband and wife, and they use the same vessel. She mentioned that to her nephew, Abdullah ibn Abbas. Thus, there is no harm if both husband and wife use the same utensils with which to bathe. Why? Because again, wiswas. A person has a bath, and then the wife, some people think you shouldn't use the same bucket. I've used that bucket. You should have your own bucket. That sort of mentality. And what do you notice going down the Bani Israel path again? Right? It doesn't matter. You can use the same utensils. And our mother highlighted this, radiyallahu anha. Another famous report from our beloved mother, Sayyida Maymuna, radiyallahu anha. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to pray on al-khumra, i.e. a mat. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to pray on al-khumra, i.e. a mat. This is in Nasa'i, in his Sunan, number 738. So it's Sunnah to use a prayer mat. So this is obvious to the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. But to the Rawafid, they say your prayer is not valid if you pray on a mat. Your head has to touch the soil. And that's why they have them small little stones and they put their head on it. So our response to that is, do you know more than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Do you know more than our mothers? So Maymuna clearly said, radiyallahu anha, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pray on al-khumra, a mat. Another report even stronger, in Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went to Sulaym's house, radiyallahu anha, and Anas said that I took the prayer mat out and it was dark due to excessive use. And I sprinkled some water on it for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in Bukhari Sharif, it mentions the Sahaba had prayer mats. We call them musalla. Right? But in terms of understanding, notice it protects you from deviation. There's no harm if you pray on the side. But at the same time, there's no harm at all if you pray on a prayer mat. In fact, you'll be rewarded because this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another report in Abu Dawood, in his Sunan number 898, with a Sahih channel transmission. Sayyida Maymuna radiyallahu anha said, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prostrated, he kept his arms so far away from his sides that if a lamb wanted to pass under his arms, it could have done so. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prostrated, he kept his arms so far away from his sides that if a lamb wanted to pass under his arms, it could have done so. So meaning, his prostration was like this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a lamb could go through the arm or underneath. This is how he prostrated, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is obviously the sunnah of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Hanafis state the hand should be near the ears, and his reports also indicated this. So they're both fine. What is either prohibited or greatly disliked is to let your forearms rest on the ground when you prostrate. The Prophet ﷺ said, do not prostrate with your forearms like a dog. meaning lift your elbows up off the ground as you prostrate. And notice, he likened it to a dog. So the scholars, they point out that we as human beings, we should never emulate animals. Somebody asked Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh, that why is it that tayyamum is exactly the same when you break your wudu or when you need a bath? It's the same tayyamum. Why is there not a different tayyamum for the bath? Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh said, because if you were to do tayyamum of the entire body, you would resemble an animal. Because animals roll in the dust. So Allah the Almighty and Glorious said, it's exactly the same. Think about that. You're in a major state of impurity, no water, tayyamum. Exactly the same. And that also shows logic. You don't use logic in our deen. If there's text, logic goes out of the window. In fact, this happened in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ammar ibn Yasir, he had a wet dream. He's on a journey. There's no water. He rolled. He started rolling in Sahih Bukhari. When he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet smiled because all you needed to do was this, Ammar. And he just struck his blessed hands on the ground and taught him how to do tayyam. So note, even Ammar used the logic. He goes, oh, body has to be covered with dust because I'm in a major state of impurity. No, you don't. And look how shaitan uses logic. Think about it. Major state of impurity. Within 3 seconds, you can touch the Quran. And yeah, what do people do? They recoil from it. They go, no, brother. Let me just do my ghusl first. Brother, Allah Ta'ala has told you a park. Are you more knowledgeable than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said in Abu Dawud Sayyid Hadith, if we use logic, we will wipe under our socks. But Rasulullah wiped over his socks. Think about that. You got socks on, leather socks, obviously, right? So somebody goes, right, you can wipe over them. So what does the person do? Oh, right, underneath, because that's where I'm walking. No, on the top. So a person looks, he goes, whoa, that don't make sense. So what did Hazrat Ali say? Logic says underneath, but Rasulullah did it on the top. So note, logic, you got to be careful. The first person or the first being to use qiyas was shaitan. He goes, I'm better than him. Adam, that was the first time. I'm better than him. What happened to him? But qiyas has a place after the divine revelation. If you can't get a clear matter, then you can turn to the qiyas. It's also very important to point out that the arms, separating the arms in sujood, is for the males, not for the females. It is true that Darda, the younger, rahmatullah alayha, used to sit in her prayer like how men sit in their prayers. That's true. Refer to Bukhari in his Tariq al-Saghir, page 95, with a Sahih channel transmission. So, who's Darda the younger? Sayyidina Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu, he had a few wives. His eldest wife was Darda. She's the elder. She's a Sahabiya. Right? But he got married again. And her name, her second wife's name was Darda. But they call her the younger. She was a Tabi'in. The report in the Sahih says, when she offered Salat, she would sit like a man. Sit in her Salat like a man. That is true. Ibrahim al-Nakhai also said, senior Tabi'in, rahmatullah alayh, a woman will sit in Salat just as a man does. This is in Ibn Abi Shayba in his Al-Musannaf, number 2788 or 1-242, Sahih. And this is important. Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayh, he thus erred when he related in his work description of the Prophet's prayer, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, page 175 of the English translation, and he stated, Ibrahim al-Nakhai allegedly said, a woman's action in the salat are the same as a man's. So what's happened? Did Ibrahim al-Nakhai say that? No, he didn't say that. What he said was, a woman sits in salat just as a man does. Sits. Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayh, inadvertently, he said, a woman's action in the salat are the same as a man's. This wording is not correct. The respected Shaykh thus concluded there was no difference between how a man and a woman offered their salat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon the noble Shaykh, rahmatullah alayhi. To err is human. And to this very day, you get some Muslims saying that there's no difference. A man and a woman pray exactly the same. But the woman's prayer is different from a man's. Let me mention a few proofs so you understand. In Abdul Razak in his Al-Musannaf number 5071, Ibn Abi Shayba in his Al-Musannaf number 2782, Ibrahim Al-Nakhai, think about it, the same man, Tabi'in, he said, when a woman prostrates, she should press her stomach against her thighs, crunch. She should also not raise her posterior, nor should she allow any space or distance between the limbs of her body as a man does. So think about this. This same senior tabi'in saying there's no difference between a man and a woman. This same tabi'in saying completely different now. Meaning somebody's made a mistake. Have you understood? So what did Ibrahim al-Nakhai say? Rahmatullah. Who's Ibrahim al-Nakhai? He is the teacher of the teacher of Imam Abu Hanifa. His grand sheikh of Imam Abu Hanifa. He is a direct student of Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu. He's telling you this. So what does a woman do? When she prostrates, her stomach twitches. She's basically crunching up. Her arms come in. Everything comes in. How does a man prostrate? Complete opposite. Wide gap. Then Ibrahim al-Nakhai said, her posterior doesn't raise, but the man does. You notice? So hers, she's flat as best she can. And her limbs are touching her body. Similarly, Ibrahim al-Nakhai said, rahmatullah alayh, when a woman prostrates, she should bring her thighs together and press her stomach to them. This is in Ibn Abi Shayba in his Al-Musannaf, number 2779. He also said, a woman should sit to one side in Salat. This is in Abdul Razak in his Al-Musannaf, number 5077. Ibn Abi Shayba in his Al-Musannaf, number 2792. And that's why you notice women, they sit like this, with both their feet to the right. Have you noticed? Right? And then what do you get? Crackpots. Right? Why are you praying like that? Pray like Rasulullah prayed. And then you think, well, yes, but isn't there an exception to the females? Imam Bayhaqi, if you don't know who that is, you got problems. He said in his Sunan Al-Kubra 2-314, quoting, all the laws of Salah in which a woman differs from a man are based on the principle of satr, concealment. This means that the woman is instructed to do all that which is more concealing for her. The following chapters of hadith explain this meaning in detail. And he went on to relate them at length. So look how ignorant people are. Imam Bayhaqi said, woman salat is all about concealment. Hands on the chest. Right? Most of the imams say the hands go below the chest for the males. When they go into ruku, they crunch. Slight bending. Not complete. What does a man do? Goes all the way down. Flat back. Sami Allahu liman khamida, virtually the same for the man and the woman. Sujood, completely different. Sitting, completely different. Imam Bayhaqi said, and look at the irony, look at the wording. The following chapters of hadith. So forget about one, two hadiths, brother. What did Imam Bayhaqi? Because the following chapters of hadith explain this meaning. So when somebody goes to you, brother, is there any authentic hadith? There's chapters, brother. Chapters. You know, Mills and Boone, chapters. Right? Are you aware of it? Right? Next minute. In Bukhari. So note, Maymuna radiallahu anha was talking in the blessed hadith about the man's salat, not the female's. Indeed, our beloved mother radiallahu anha would often be seen getting clarification upon matters in which the people differed. So let me just mention a few of the things about the female salat. What's the best row for the males?
Front.
The front. What's the worst for the males? The back. What's the best rows for the females?
Bike.
The bike. And what's the worst?
Front.
I thought they were like we will see. That's what men and women's salat is the same. When the imam makes a mistake, how do we correct the imam?
Subhanallah.
How do women correct?
Clap.
That's why we're exactly the same to them. Think about that. All these laws, right? Doesn't that show that their salat is different from ours? And even your fitrah, you're thinking, why would a woman start? How would they be like exposing herself? She's standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Men walk, you know, it doesn't even logically make any sense. Astaghfirullah. So now let's look at examples where our mother clarified things where people differed. In Bukhari, it is Sahih, number 1989. Our mother Sayyida Maymuna radiyallahu anha said, the people were in doubt whether Rasulullah was fasting on the day of Arafat. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I thus sent some milk to him whilst he was standing at Arafah. He thereupon drank from it and the people all observed. So look how beautiful. Rasulullah is doing the one and only Hajj. Farewell Hajj. He's in Arafat, which is only what? Today, well, Arafat's on Thursday, so you got another 5 days. It's Arafat. Look at what's happening. Some people, he's fasting. He told us to fast on Arafat. 2 years since, forgiven. Others said, no, he's not fasting. Did Maymuna radiallahu anha ask Rasulullah? Look at her, the way she's doing it, very honorable adab. All she did was, she sent some milk to him. Look how, noble that was. Just some milk. And what did he do? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was standing at Arafat. And he drank. And people also. So was he fasting? No. And this is why most of the imams say that the people who are doing the Hajj should not fast at Arafat. The Surah didn't fast. The Hajis, those at Hajj. Why? Because they need strength. But there's a difference of opinion. Some of the Sahaba did fast. And they were doing Hajj. The reason is because the Prophet was coming down for the weaker ones. The Sahaba didn't have those restrictions. Right? So who would fast at Arafat? Our mother Aisha. Her nephew Abdullah ibn Zubair. And some other companions whose name escapes me. Radiyallahu ta'ala. Another example of her clarification. In a Hakim in his Mustadrak 4-32, Sahih to the criteria of Muslim. Zahabi in his Al-Talkhis 3-32 states Sahih. Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat, volume 8, page 98 of the English translation, in the chapter on the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Isaba 4-413, with the Sahih chain of transmission. Sayyidina Yazid ibn al-Asam. So just to remind you, Yazid ibn al-Asam was the nephew of Maymuna. Yazid ibn al-Asam, the maternal nephew of Maymuna, he relates. I met Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu when she was coming from Makkah. I and a son of Talha ibn Ubaidullah radiyallahu, and he was the son of her youngest sister. So let's get these personalities. Who are these three? So what is Aisha? She's coming back from Umrah or Hajj radiyallahu. The other two, one is Yazid, who's the nephew of Maymuna. The other is Talha's son. Talha, one of the 10 promised paradise. Talha's son was the nephew of Aisha. Why? Because Talha had married Aisha's sister. Talha's son had married Aisha's sister. So her son was the nephew of Aisha. Have you got this? So you got the nephew of Maymuna, Yazid radiyallahu. You got the nephew of Aisha, and you got Aisha. Yazid said, radiyallahu, we had just entered one of the enclosed gardens of Al-Madina. They entered the orchard. And we took something away from it. This news reached Aisha. So what they done? The two nephews entered the orchard, had some to eat from the orchard, left. That news reaches Aisha. She then came to her nephew, Talha's son, to shame him and to censure him. So she basically gave him the proverbial blast. What do you think you're doing? Entering an orchard, eating without permission. Then she came to me. And she warned and advised me. And she said to me, don't forget, now this brother, that was her nephew. She said, O Yazid, radiallahu, Do you not know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for you and made you a member of the Ahlul Bayt? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Maymuna has left and thrown your reins free. So now what she's saying? So she's rebuking Maymuna's nephew. And she said some very interesting words to Maymuna's nephew. What did she say? Allah Ta'ala has provided for you. You are a member of the house of his prophet. Then she said, now this is the bit that needs to be explained. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Maymuna has left, thrown your reins free. This is explained. Hafiz Ibn al-Athir has clarified in his An-Nihaya fi Ghareeb al-Hadith wal al-Athar 3-350. He said, meaning, kept out of your path, and thus there is now no one to stop you from what you want. Thus likening him to an animal whose reins are thrown on his back and is thus free to roam wherever it wishes to the pastures. That's the eloquence of Aisha. So if you let an animal loose, what's he going to do? Go to any orchard. He'll love it. Go into one orchard, eat, go to another orchard. Look at the eloquence of Aisha radiallahu. She turns to Yazid and she said, Maymun has left your aunt and thrown your reins free. It's figured of speech. Meaning, you're like an animal. Eating, going into pastures, just eating. Then she said to Yazid, was Maymun not the one who feared Allah the Almighty the most amongst us? Was she not the most charitable of us to one's relatives? Thus, how come that high level of piety has not rubbed off unto you, O Yazid? In other words, Maymuna, you know, she's praised because she was the most God-fearing, she was the most pious. And then, what happened to you? So now think about this. Why have I mentioned this report? Because if Aisha is praising Maymuna, that's massive praise. But at the same time, look how concerned she was over Maymuna's nephew. You would have thought she spoke to her own nephew, he'll pass the message on. She went, no, I'm going to speak to him. And then she said to Yazid, look at the eloquence. He goes, Maymun has left, thrown your reins free. Very eloquent, you know, tell me she was Abu Bakr Siddiq's daughter. And then she said, why aren't you like your aunt? Maymun radiallahu. Subhanallah, praise from such august and hallowed quarters is truly praise indeed. Subhanallah. So now, before wrapping up, what were they doing in the orchard? You get this impression that they're going around stealing. They weren't stealing. So obviously, there's ways to explain. First of all, they're sahaba. So we don't have any silly thoughts. Unless you want to join your brothers. Right? Right? So what does it mean? They're entering orchards. So the way to understand it, maybe these were their friends, brothers, family members. You know, they go in, and what's the verse in the Quran? Allah Ta'ala says that's permissible for you. Right? Meaning if somebody is very close to you, you can eat even without their permission. Hasan al-Basri went to a stall, right? Hasan al-Basri went to a stall, rahmatullahi alayh, and the stall had cloth over it, meaning that the person who owned the stall was away. He lifted the cloth, started eating. So somebody goes, hi, Hasan al-Basri, what are you doing? And then Hasan al-Basri said, do you know the Quran? And then the man obviously thought, he goes, you know Surah Nur? And then he goes, and he mentioned the verse. He goes, do you know the verse? It's a long verse. He goes, read it. So he goes, you are allowed this, you are allowed that. And then he gets to a key word, he goes, stop. What does that mean? And it means you can eat without asking from the one who's very close to you. Right? So what does that teach you? That maybe the Sahaba were doing that. They went into the orchard, they goes, look, they don't mind. In fact, they'll be offended if you don't eat. But Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she had no chance. She came down like a ton of bricks due to the piety. So what do we learn? We learn that our mothers were truly looking after their children. Because Allah Ta'ala had given them that honorable title. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل الانسان الذي فصل الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات واصل الحق واصل الصبر صدق الله